Welcome to the FTN Fantasy Football Podcast, presented by the FTN Network, with your hosts, Ray Garvin and Derek Brown, breaking down NFL action with the info you need to crush your fantasy leagues.
Welcome back, everybody, to the FTN Fantasy Football Podcast. Y'all know who it is. It's your boy, Ray G. You can find me on Twitter at RayGQ. I am joined, as always, by my man, my boy, Mr. Derek Brown. You can find him on Twitter at Dbro underscore FFB. Dbro, how you doing today, baby?
Ray, what's going on, man? We're back in the saddle. It's episode two time, baby, and we're going to get into some full dynasty. Not the only thing we're talking on this podcast, but
please, we're here for it right now.
Let's
get this out of the way real quick. This is not just a dynasty podcast. We're going to dynasty, redraft, best ball, any kind of balls and footballs and all kinds of balls against the wall. We're going to talk it all. We just need to make sure that we are clear that this is not just a dynasty podcast, but a lot of the same principles that sort of apply in dynasty when we're looking at player values, what we saw through this season, players that we're buying and selling. We'll make sure that we clarify, is it from a dynasty perspective? Is it from a redraft perspective? But it all overlaps, man. Like, ultimately, we're trying to find the best damn players to score us fantasy points in the given season that we're playing, whether it's dynasty, whether it's redraft. And of course, the values will change, and we'll make sure we're very clear with that as we go through each episode. But we just a little disclaimer that everybody out there, they know this is just fantasy football. And with that being said, please go to ftnfantasy.com and check out all the dope content being dropped daily, hourly, by the damn minute on ftnfantasy.com, and make sure you check out all the other dope podcasts on the FTN Network, FTN Podcast Network, Fade the Chalk. We're on there. Who else is on the lineup, D-Bro? Everybody?
Oh, man. Everybody, anybody, man. Like, Vlad Sedler and the fam has been crushing the FTN Fantasy Podcast. So I know Ramp Up for Baseball is ongoing and stuff like that. So you got to go check that show out as well. We're going to lay a bunch of stuff out here, and I just had an article that went live this afternoon. We're gonna talk about a few of the players in said article. Going through, Ray, come on, man. Let's get into this, dude.
Yeah.
Our top 10.
Wait.
I'm jumping the gun here, my bad.
Yeah, man, you gotta love me. You gotta caress me. Valentine's Day was yesterday, and you're just trying to jump right in the saddle, man. I need you to tease me a little bit before we get to the meat of the show. We had the Super Bowl Sunday. We gotta talk a little Super Bowl real quick, just from a value perspective, right? We're not gonna dive into the game and in the outcome and that, but just the players, right? We saw the Staffords and Burrow and Chase and Higgins and Kupp and Cam Akers, Odell Beckham Jr. Just what are your thoughts and takeaways, big high-level takeaways of those players from that game? Just pick a couple. We don't have to go through each position, but just a couple of players that you're either extremely bullish about moving forward in 2022 or you're really, really concerned about going into the season next year.
So, I mean, I gotta lead this off right now, because the first episode, I came out there and I made the prediction that Cam Akers was going to ball the hell out. I threw it out there on Twitter and stuff like that. And if we keep it at 100, Ray, I mean, look, man, you got to own the L's. You got to admit when you're wrong and things like that. The one thing I did not see going into that game that is concerning is that the Rams' offensive line looked terrible. Like,
yeah,
it wasn't just a Cam Akers take. Like, everybody wants to put that on him. And did he play well? No. But that offensive line didn't give anybody a chance. And the Bengals' run defense has been terrible, horrific in the playoffs. Dude, the Rams couldn't get nothing going. Legit nothing going on the ground. It didn't matter if they put Sony Michel back there. The only damn time I saw them get positive yardage outside of one Cam Akers run where I think he got like 8 yards was when they gave the damn ball on a sweep to Cooper Kupp. Past that, it wasn't happening, man, and it's not going to get better with Andrew Whitworth retiring. So the Rams, they have got to address this offensive line in the offseason, because if they stay with the same group that they're in right now, considering what we saw over the back half of the season, and not so much in pass protection, but in run blocking, It was ugly, Ray. Like, it was damn ugly in the Super Bowl.
Yeah. Yeah, it was bad, man. And to that point, man, I think on the other side of the ball, Joe Burrow, as great as he's been this season, winning comeback player of the year, they said combined sacks from the regular season to the playoffs, 70, which, I mean, a lot of people are saying they can't even believe that the dude is standing upright at this point in time. Listen, if I'm Cincinnati, whether it's free agency, and we'll talk about some of the free agents. I know, like, Ryan Jensen's a free agent. There's a couple of other offensive linemen out there. Cam Robinson, I don't know what he really is. But you know what? Cincinnati needs to invest as many draft picks, as much money as humanly possible to protect Joe Burrow. I mean, he's got a knee injury right now. They said it's not going to require surgery, but it is going to require rehab. I'm no doctor, so I don't know what the hell that means, D-Bro, but – the fact that Burrow was hit, what, 10 damn times, sacked 7 times in the Super Bowl, that meme came full circle. The Penei Sewell, Jamar Chase, Joe Burrow dropping back. Like that was literally like the last play of the game, right? Jamar Chase is wide open down the sideline, but no time to throw the ball. Cincinnati has to upgrade that offensive line. And if and when they do that, that helps out Joe Burrow. It helps out the wide receivers, helps out Joe Mixon, helps out everybody on that offensive front. So, you know, like you said, Cam Akers, quite disappointing from his return. But for me, I'm not panicking. I mean, the best thing about Cam Akers, in my opinion, is the fact that he came back. He looks healthy. He looks explosive. Let's give him a full offseason to work. Let's try to improve that offensive line for the Rams, and maybe Cam Akers can do some work in 2022. I will say, from a dynasty perspective, deep stash, Bryson Hopkins, man. I mean, got in there when Blanton got hurt. Higbee was out. Higbee's a little bit older. They spent, I think, a fifth-round pick on Bryson Hopkins out of Purdue a year or two ago. Listen, deep stash. I'll take Bryson Hopkins. He's not going to cost you any damn thing. Athletic tight end, tethered to a good offense with Cooper Kupp and Matthew Stafford. Just throwing that out there. A little Bryson Hopkins talk. Anything else before we hit that top 10 list that we want to get to?
Yeah, no, I agree with you on Hopkins, man. I mean, I think that him, and you could talk me back, I've been on him the entire time. I stashed him on taxi squads everywhere. I took him last round of rookie drafts. The same conversation, throw Jacob Harris still in there, man. Dude is an athletic monster. If you're looking receiving upside, again, he might be on some smaller or shallower leagues. Maybe sitting out there on a waiver or something like that, you get him as a throw-in and as a trade. And to your point, Ray, before we kind of kick this off to our top 10 dynasty buys and sells right now, Cincinnati Bengals walk into this offseason with the fourth most cap space in the NFL. So they got the quiche to go out and get some dudes to block for Burrow if they want to do it.
Good. They need to spend it. They need to spend it. So let's jump into this. So we're going to talk about, I mean, we said top 10. We're going to talk about 10 players. We got 5 buys, 5 sells. This is dynasty, and we will also sort of kind of talk about what we think they'll actually do next season. So for seasonal leagues, like, are you bullish? Are you excited? Are you a little bit kind of like, not really? But let's dive into these guys. And D-Bro, let's kick it off with you. Right now in Dynasty, who's a player that you're buying, you're ahead of consensus on, you're loving them for the 2022 season? Lay it on us.
I mean, look, I was spitting the good word about this guy walking into this season, and we saw flashes, my friend. We saw flashes of this because we didn't see him fully healthy the entire season. And I know, people, the stink is real around the Jets, okay? But Michael Carter is a damn stud, dude. I mean, he's RB24 going up at 67.6 in startups right now. You're looking at a guy that is ninth in yards after contact per attempt against all running backs over 100 carries last year. And a Jets team that was top 5 in run blocking after week 9. They're going to bring back 4 of their 5 starters in the offensive line. And depending on, and if you're out there, you're just getting into Dynasty. I know we don't do this as much, but I want to bring up some reference for people, because if you're in leagues and immediately you send out trade offers for players, people send you screenshots of trade calculators and things like that, because some people legit, and you know who they are in your leagues, even if you're in experienced leagues. As soon as you send that trade offer, they're going to be like, let me pull up the calculator. What's the value here? And I'm telling you right now,
the calculator guys.
Oh, it's real, man. And just for all the calculator folks out there, You got Michael Carter on a very, a few of them around the industry. And I went searching because I don't want to tell people anything that's not right. Legit, his trade value on a few different ones right now is for an early second. And for me, hell yes. Give me that. No Tevin Coleman next year. I don't think this team turns into like one that's going to be high-flying and they're relying on Zach Wilson. And this is not shade on Elijah Moore and stuff, but this is all to say that Michael Carter is a damn stud. And I still think, like, at RB24, there's meat on the bone there, and he can rise in value. All we need to see is, what, Ray? Like, a full season from him? But what are your thoughts on Carter?
Yeah, man. I think he's going to be the guy, right? What is Ty Johnson under contract? Who they have? It's going to be Michael Carter and Ty Johnson.
Ty Johnson and LaMichael Perine. That's it.
It's Michael Carter. He's the most talented running back there. Am I buying him long term? Probably not. But you're talking about the next couple of years. You're talking about a running back that's not going to cost you a ton. And you're saying a second rounder for him. You know, when you're looking at this upcoming rookie draft, the top of the second round, I mean, maybe a Kyren Williams is there, Rashad White, Tyler Allgeier, or Michael Carter. I think his situation is a lot more solidified than any of those rookie running backs, right? So that offense is going to get better. Zach Wilson is going to get a little bit better. We're seeing the Jets having mocked a wide receiver to them, whether it's Garrett Wilson, Jameson Williams, Drake London, Treylon Burks, not sure. But you get Zach Wilson, another pass catcher around him, help improve that offense, continue to build that offensive line through the draft and through free agency. I think things are setting up nicely for Michael Carter in seasonal leagues and in dynasty leagues. And again, if you're telling me he's only going to cost me a mid to high second round pick, I think I'd be willing to take that bet, man. The concussion thing, he had a concussion last year. I don't know how much I'm going to factor that into my acquisition of him or not. Just something to monitor. Nothing that I'm going to panic over. I like you starting it off with Michael Carter. I'm going to stick with the running back as well. And the player that I'm saying that people should be buying right now in Dynasty is a player who missed the entire 2021 season with a foot injury. It happened in the second to last preseason game, and the team was god-awful. The Jacksonville Jaguars were just terrible. But Travis Etienne is a player that I am looking to acquire in Dynasty. I want him in Dynasty. I think he's going to be really good in 2022. He wasn't my number one or number two running back coming out in the 2021 class. I had Najee Harris and Javonte Williams ranked ahead of Travis Etienne, but you can't deny the draft capital, right? He was picked, one slot after Najee Harris, the second first-round pick of Jacksonville. They've got a new coach coming in. Now, Doug Peterson has a history of a little bit of running back by committee, but Travis Etienne, no James Robinson to start the season with the torn Achilles. We'll see what happens with Carlos Hyde. I wouldn't be shocked if they bring in a veteran running back. But by all accounts, Etienne was healthy towards the end of the season and said he could have played if Jacksonville called him up. But they just told him to chill at the house because we suck and there's no point in wasting, potentially re-injuring you. So when I'm looking at players to buy, I love to not just say buy or sell, but what can you actually acquire Travis Etienne for? I'm seeing deals right now where somebody traded away Joe Mixon and they received Travis Etienne, a second rounder and a third rounder in 2022. I'm also seeing a deal where someone traded away Marquise Brown in 2/3 this year to get Travis Etienne. I'm doing that 10 out of 10 times. Josh Jacobs for Travis Etienne. I saw another deal where Travis Etienne was traded for a 2022 second round pick and a 2023 second round pick in order to acquire Travis Etienne. Any of those deals for a running back that has, you know, back-to-back 1,600-yard seasons in a Power 5 conference in the ACC, Pro Day ran a 4.45. We know he can catch the ball. He's fast. He's explosive. He's 215 pounds, and he's 23 years old. I'll take Travis Etienne at that type of discount. All I got to do is trade away Hollywood Brown or Josh Jacobs to get him. Hell yeah, sign me up with Travis Etienne. And here's my thing with Jacksonville, man. It cannot get much worse than it was last year. Like, I just refuse to believe that it can get any worse than it was last year. So with Doug Peterson coming in, Trevor Lawrence another year under his belt, if they do invest in offensive line early in the NFL draft, this is going to be really, really good for Travis Etienne. I'm loving him in 2022.
Yeah, I like that call. I think all the trades that you laid out there, I think the only one that was kind of it was like the Travis Etienne, a second and a third for Mixon. Like, if I was doing that, I'd probably want like Etienne and a first or something like that.
That's fair.
Mixon's that damn high. But like, yeah. I don't hate the trade. I like the Etienne call because especially when you're laying out that like James Robinson's not going to be back there to start the year. Now, maybe Jacksonville, I think they have 2/3 and a fourth in the upcoming NFL draft. Maybe they draft a guy in the middle or later rounds and stuff like that. He pairs with Etienne to start the season. I won't be surprised by that at all. But the things that you look for in these players when we see like entire coaching staffs gutted and what's that going to do to the players? Because that's one of the reasons why like I was really low on James Robinson walking into this season, because you have the change over of coaching staffs, regimes, and what do these new coaches think? The one thing that can kind of help insulate a player is exactly what Etienne has, and that's draft capital, baby. Like, as well as, regardless of whatever we think, right? And I'm not telling you that I'm a balk stan. Like, I'm like saying they should have kept the damn GM. But that's also a feather in the cap. Like, that's the guy that drafted him and was in there for the decision-making for him to go in the first round. So if we want to buy into draft capital equals early opportunity and a lot of it, and you're going to get chances to screw up and still get more opportunities, then Etienne's going to get that as soon as he's healthy. And for all the reasons you laid out, he should, as long as he's healthy walking into offseason, he's going to be running as the number one dude. And Peterson, they've got to get Trevor Lawrence right. And one of the ways to do that is to be able to scheme up easy completions for him and get him rolling, man. So, yeah, I love the ETN call.
All right, who you got next, man?
So, I'm going to go with there's two guys I got next on this list. And part of them, one of them is more value dependent because I don't love, and going back to people that use the calculators and stuff like that, like, I don't love kind of what it's taking to possibly get him. But again, we see this, Ray, that there is a big divide depending on what leagues you're in and people's thoughts on some of these players when you put offers out or people put players on the block and what they're going to go for. So the two guys, I'm going to stay in the wide receiver position. Like, the two guys that in this first one is a player I was not in on at all, like walking into last year's draft. And I crapped on the pick. I made fun of the damn Giants. But Lord help me, the player that I'm going out and I'm honestly trying to get in as many leagues as I possibly damn can right now is Kadarius Toney. And that's a player that I don't think that a lot of people listening to this show right now would have expected. Hell, if you're coming over from Fade the Chalk and you heard me and Adam break him down last offseason, you would not expect a lot of great things out of my mouth about Kadarius Toney. But some of this, we have to stay liquid in this, man. We have to change what, like, based off of what guys do in the NFL and what they do versus NFL competition and change our priors some, man. Like, I'm not going to stay married to whatever my prospect profile was on Kadarius Toney coming out because it wasn't good and there wasn't a whole lot. If you look at all the different things and metrics out there to look at that prognosticate wide receiver production and guys hitting in the NFL, but Toney, dude, when he was healthy, he balled out last year. Absolutely balled out. There's only 5 wide receivers over, if you're piling through all the FTN data stuff, 5 wide receivers that ran 100 or more routes. They had a 29% target per route run rate and 2.2 or higher yards per route run. And this kind of like, this shelf that he is in right now with the production that we saw on a limited basis, Ray, is crazy. The 5 guys that are up there with him, Cooper Kupp, Devontae Adams, A.J. Brown, Antonio Brown, and you have Kadarius Toney rounding out that group. Like, that's insane. When I found that, looking through all the data on the back end of FTN, I was shocked.
Damn. Listen, we saw flashes from Toney last year. I know it was one game. But that Cowboys game, like, the talent is there, man. The talent is there. It's undeniable. The talent is there. And the new head coach, Brian Daboll, from the OC from Buffalo, things are going to get better for the Giants. I'm with you. I think there was a point in last season where his value got way too high after that game versus the Cowboys. And then it came crashing not just back to Earth, but like through Earth down to the core, where it's like magma and all types of hot shit down there. And because it's in that right now, and it's just like burning and melting away, I'm in. What did you say his ADP is right now? What's its ADP is wide receiver 41. The yards per route run are there. I'm with you, man. I think this hiring and the offensive competency that the Giants seem to be building this offseason is good for everybody. You know, I'm not the biggest Daniel Jones fan. I'm not the biggest Evan Ingram fan or the Kenny Golladay fan. And even like you said, you weren't the biggest Kadarius Toney fan, but it's hard to argue the moves that they made and those not being positive for that football team. So I'm with you. I do think Kadarius Toney in Dynasty is a buy, especially because his value has come back down to Earth reality. And I think it's kind of like a little bit in the multiverse a little bit. It's kind of like off far in some distant land, because I think he should be valued a tad bit higher. He's a young rookie, a first-year player who was injured a lot of the times, and the Giants were, much like the Jacksonville Jaguars, dog shit for most of the season. So, again, with Brian Daboll coming in, things can only get better for the Giants, and I'm with you. I like this call of buying Kadarius Toney, and I'm going to stick with the wide receiver position. I don't know. Maybe I've got this thing for bad teams. Maybe I have this thing for the Jacksonville Jaguars deep down inside. I, as I'm looking at this, I'm like, what have I done here? But DJ Chark is a player that I want. I still am all in on DJ Chark, 6'3", 200 pound. Yeah, I think people forget, right? 2 years ago. 2 years ago, well, actually 3 years ago in 2019, his rookie season, 117 targets, 73 receptions, over 1,000 yards. And then in 2020, with a smattering of Gardner Minshew and Nick Foles and Jake Luton and whoever else, Mike Glennon throwing him the ball, had 53 for 706 in this season. In four games played, 22 targets. He only caught seven of those passes for 154, broke his ankle, and that was the end of the season. But this kid is only 25 years old. He goes into the season. He'll be right at 26 years old. He's got good size, ridiculous speed, and right now he's being valued like in the 100s at wide receiver. Like, I'm looking at some stuff where he's like at wide receiver 135. I don't know where we have him in the FTN, but he's low, right? Very low. And when I'm looking at some deals that I've seen in order to get DJ Chark, I'm seeing Robert Woods for DJ Chark straight up. Kenny Gainwell, Quez Watkins in the 2023 third for DJ Chark. Give me Chark over Gainwell, Watkins in a third. Here's one, Dallas Goedert or DJ Chark, a 2022 first and a 2022 third round pick. Now, if it's tight end premium, all this other stuff, maybe you make the argument, no, you don't want to do that. But when I'm thinking about, do I want Robert Woods or the 26-year-old? Give me DJ Chark. Do I want Chark or Kenny Gainwell and Quez Watkins? Give me DJ Chark. I think this is a player that, you know, he's going to hit free agency. Well, he's going to be a free agent. Chances are he's not coming back to Jacksonville. He lands, you know, pick a team. Think if he lands, God, we always do this every year, and I hate doing it. I hate it, but they need a number two. What if he's the number two in Kansas City? What if the Chiefs are like, we need a bigger target that can stretch the field? You know, as fast as Tyreek Hill is and as much as he is good at stretching the field, he does a lot of damage in the short and intermediate areas of the quadrants of the field as well. So you get a DJ Chark with the Patrick Mahomes. What if he lands with Josh Allen? I'm just going to name all the top quarterbacks and say, what if he goes there? What if he goes? What if he replaces Mike Williams in L.A. with Justin Herbert, man? I mean, this is a player that I want, and he does not cost you a lot to get in Dynasty. So right now, DJ Chark is like my guy that I'm trying to acquire everywhere. I want him, man. I want him. And thankfully and hopefully, fingers crossed, he's out of Jacksonville after here in a couple of months. So it's one of the players that I'm trying to get, man. What do you think about DJ Chark?
I like the call. And just pulling up startup ADP from DLF from January, it's crazy how far DJ Chark has fallen just because of not being out of sight, out of mind, just because the dude was hurt. Like, he's going as wide receiver 49 in startups, and the two or three players he's behind, it's absolute. And he's going right behind Van Jefferson and Tyler Boyd. Give me DJ Chark over those dudes all damn day. Yeah, and man. I like the call, and you're rolling through these teams, and I'm going to bring up another one because we're talking about top quarterbacks. We're talking about places that could pay him, and he's going to go into a situation where he's going to be maybe asked to be the number two. Marquez Valdes-Scantling is a free agent. If Green Bay is talking that talk and they're going to give Aaron Rodgers the sauce and give him all, and break the bank and basically go with the Saints kind of mold and just push it off and go full win now, just balls to the wall for the next year or two. If he ends up in Green Bay and you're talking about he gets a year or two with Aaron Rodgers, yeah, sign me up, dude. Like that team, that's another team we're talking about. It's been screaming for a number two wide receiver for more than a damn minute.
Love it.
And he'd be able to stretch the field. He'd be like Marquez Valdes-Scantling plus, because he's able to run intermediate and short area routes. He's able to get open, and he's a better damn player than Valdes-Scantling.
100%. I'm with you, man. With you. We'll touch on your last dynasty buy right now. You said you had another receiver that you wanted to dive into. So tell the people who it is.
So staying in that kind of early second, maybe mid-second price tag, and I'm not necessarily buying him in that, but if you can throw out an offer for Christian Kirk, and he's in that same type of ilk as a few of these other receivers we've talked about so far in startups and where he's going, he's 25 years old. If you can get him for, say, a mid to late second, and I'm probably going the more the end of a late second trying to throw out that offer for him. But he's a guy like Ray, he's 25. Even if he goes back to Arizona, A.J. Green's a free agent. Zach Ertz is a free agent. We don't know what to make out of Rondell Moore. I consider and tell you he's a buy depending on what you're having to give up. But probably the flash is still there and people, you know, they sewed in that pick equity into them. So they're probably not ready to let him go. But if with Christian Kirk, people are just tired of like the production hasn't been there. But this is a guy like D-Hop went down last year and we saw Kirk take the mantle. We saw him perform well in the limited time where he was more asked to be that number one guy, or at least to try to share that role. And the thing that I love about Kirk is if he goes to another situation, or hell, he even stays in Arizona, and they're going to put him in the damn slot more than what they did last year, 49% in 2021, we're talking about a guy that was 14th in yards per route run from the slot. If he gets the full-time slot role, and we're talking about a guy that gets up into the 60, 70% range for slot snaps, I think that we could see more production out of Christian Kirk walking into the next season or two. And some of that is, okay, he goes somewhere and he's the starting slot wide receiver for another offense. Hell, even if he stays in Arizona, I still think that the arrow could be pointing up for him, even if he stays there, doesn't go anywhere else, and they just pay him to be the starting slot guy. But what are your thoughts on Kirk, man? Because I think people are soured on him because they came out, there was a lot of love for him, and they're like, well, he hadn't done it. He still hadn't done it. Last year, he was basically a wide receiver three. Like, I still think the dude's got talent.
Here's the thing. I don't know how I feel about Christian Kirk. I'm not out. Mm-hmm. I'm not in. I'm just there, right? Like, he's somebody that I don't think I'm going to actively try to acquire. He'd be somebody that if he was packaged up in a deal – like, I'd want him, right? It just has not come to fruition the way that I thought it would coming out of Texas A&M for Christian Kirk. Don't get me wrong, man. I don't dislike the player. And I actually think you're probably right on the call to acquire him. I guess I just don't know what for or what my expectations are with getting that player.
That's what I was
going to
ask.
Okay.
Because if it's an early second, no. If it's a mid or... if it's a late second, that's probably kind of where I'm at right now. Am I willing to give up a late second? Which, I mean, honestly, you get outside of, and we see the tier breaks, and you're more into the rookies. I'm playing catch up right now.
Where do
you think that tier break is right now, okay, Ray? Is it in the second round?
Well, let's see. Okay, so here goes one. Christian Kirk for a second and a third. What side would you rather have? What side would you rather have, Christian Kirk, or would you rather have the second and the third this year?
If it's a late second, I might take the Kirk side because thirds.
Let's assume mid to late for everything. Like, let's just go on the assumption that it's mid to late. Would you rather those second rounders or those mid to late second rounders or Christian Kirk? I probably would take Christian Kirk over that. I'm seeing Christian Kirk for a 2023 second rounder straight up. I mean, it depends on where it's at. It feels kind of even. Christian Kirk or James Robinson in the 2022 third. I'm taking Christian Kirk in that side of the deal, right?
Yep.
Christian Kirk or Robert Woods.
Ooh, give me Kirk. I'll take Kirk. Kirk,
okay.
Well, because here's the thing. You could flip Kirk as young as he is. Like, say he pops this year, or even if you wanted to get out from under him. You ain't getting rid of Robert. Like, what are you getting for Robert Woods, even now? Like, you can't flip him around. Like, you're holding him until he decides he's going to sign his retirement papers.
Yeah, everything that I'm seeing with Kirk is he's a piece in a deal. Very few Kirk straight-up deals, which I just like to look at. Like, I want to see what people are valuing him at. Here's my thinking with Kirk. If he does land on a different situation, I think he's okay. Like, I just don't know. He'd be a guy that I would just be like, if I got him as a throw-in in a deal, I would be happy. But I just don't know. I don't think I'd pay a late second for him, man. Like, a third rounder, I would do it. But late second, you're looking at Christian Watson territory. You're looking at maybe a Damian Pierce. You're looking at – I've seen Rashad White.
You lead off with the two loveless guys from the Senior Bowl, knowing it's going to get my heart.
Well, you said you weren't into the rookie, so I had to tease you and appease you a little bit. And when I say those names, now you start thinking, oh, shit, maybe I would rather those picks over I just think he's good, right? I think he's a solid football player, but a fantasy asset that you're – if you have to start him every week, I'd rather the picks. If it's best ball and I could just throw him, he's just on the roster in those weeks where he has those two touchdowns and I can just take that, I think I would roll – I'd roll with Christian Kirk in that case. So – let's just run through the five buys that we have right now. So we talked about Michael Carter, Kadarius Toney, Christian Kirk, Travis Etienne, and DJ Chark as some players that you should be trying to acquire in Dynasty, and majority of those guys don't cost you much at all. Probably the most expensive player that we talked about was Travis Etienne. But now we're going to flip the script, D-Bro. We're going to talk about some players that we need to be getting out from under. We're done. Or maybe not done. They still got plenty of game left, but – here's the thing in Dynasty, man. For me, the way that I do it is I'd rather be a year early than a year too late. If I'm a year too early opposed to a year too late, then I'm fine, right? And when I make those type of deals, I'm walking into the trade knowing good and well that this player is still going to produce this fall. This player is still going to be damn good in the 2022 season. But what you don't want to happen is you don't want to get to a point where you had a window to move a player like Ezekiel Elliott in Dynasty, and you hold on for that production, that final year. Like, this is the year I'm going to win, and I'm riding Zeke. And what you could have gotten for Zeke at the start of the season, there's no way you're getting that now for a player like Ezekiel Elliott. But that was too easy to do. Everybody knows you should be trying to sell Zeke Elliott right now. So I'm going to stay at running back, and I'm going to say a player who just made another Pro Bowl is probably locked in for another 1,300 to 1,500 rushing yards this year. But Dalvin Cook is a player I'm trying to get from under as quick as possible in Dynasty. You've gotten your multiple years of production from Dalvin Cook. He'll be 27 years old this season. He's already battled multiple injuries in his career. This is a player that I think, even though he's probably going he's going to be a beast this season. Dalvin Cook is still going to be very good in 2022, but he's already approaching that territory where, remember a couple of years ago, going into the season last year, Derrick Henry, we all knew he was the king. We all knew he was going to lead the damn NFL in rushing. But when you tried to trade him, you never could get what he was worth. Like, you know, Derrick Henry was worth probably two first rounders plus a player, two first plus a Michael Carter, two first plus a Travis Etienne. It's probably what he should be valued at, but no sharp dynasty manager was going to trade you that, right? And I think you're approaching that with a player like Dalvin Cook. And when I'm looking at some deals, I mean, it's already none of these things look good, D-Bro. None of them feel good. Dalvin Cook for a 2022 first, straight up. Like, that's all you're getting, right? Dalvin Cook, here's one I actually like in a super flex league. Dalvin Cook for Trey Lance, Michael Carter, and Rondale Moore. I would take Trey Lance, Michael Carter, and Rondale Moore. Everything else is just, look at this one, man. Somebody had to give up Dalvin Cook and a second round pick to get a 2022 first. Dalvin Cook for a 2022 first and DJ Chark, I'd consider something like that. Dalvin Cook and Amon-Ra St. Brown for Deontay Foreman and Ja'Marr Chase. And here's the one. This is the tier, call it tier down. I kind of call it a tier up. But Dalvin Cook, Mecole Hardman, and a fourth rounder. So essentially Dalvin Cook, Mecole, and a fourth for Christian McCaffrey. Like, I'm trying to – here's the real one that I love right here. This happened 2 weeks ago. Dalvin Cook, Alexander Mattison, and a second for Javonta Williams from the Denver Broncos. Ooh. If I can move off of Dalvin Cook and get a young running back like Javonta Williams, if I can get a Travis Etienne plus a first, if I can get the 103 or the 102 this year where I know I can walk away with Isaiah Spiller or Breece Hall plus something for Dalvin Cook, D-Bro, that's a move that I'm making, man. And again, I say that fully understanding that he's going to rush for another 1,400 yards this year. But going into age 27 season, you know, after this year, he's 28. He's right where Derrick Henry is right now. He's this, you know, 28, 29 years old, where it's like, damn, I just got to ride this guy in the sunset. What am I crazy for talking about taking a Javonta Williams for a Dalvin Cook, a Travis Etienne in a first for a Dalvin Cook? Where are you at with him in Dynasty?
Hell no, you're not crazy, man. I think he falls in a perfect tier of guys that everybody could be, that should be entertaining offers, trying to get out. Like, there's a tier of players that are in that same, running backs, that are in that 26, gonna be 27 mold. Dalvin Cook, Alvin Kamara, not talking about all the off-the-field stuff. Nick Chubb, Austin Eckler, guys that are all still going in startups as of January as top 12 running backs that I'd be trying to get out from under, man. Because once you get to that age 27 and stuff, you're talking about it like people see that and they look at the age. And whether it's the contract, the age, both of those together, or injury histories, they're like, I get it, but I'm not giving you that much. And so, like, we could have taken Dalvin Cook's name off of this outline and sit here and put any one of those dudes, and I'd be doing those type of deals, and I'd be doing them yesterday. And for as far as Javonta, give me all the Javonte Williams you possibly can, baby. Like, I have him ranked on the site, and people can go check it. He's a top three dynasty running back right now. Because I want people to be above consensus on this dude just because he shared a running back or a backfield with Melvin Gordon last year. I don't give a crap about that dude. He gets the workload this year. You're not going to be able to get him without giving up multiple appendages, not just your arm. People are going to be calling for your damn leg, too, if you want to get Javonte Williams. So, yes, absolutely, make that deal. And if you can get Javonte, or, I mean, put it this way, would you do it straight up? Oh, Dalvin Cook for Javonta Williams. Like,
yes,
easy.
Yes, man.
Yesterday.
Yes. Dude, no, I don't need to ask for advice. I don't need to look at the calculator. I don't need to look at anything. You send me Dalvin Cook for Javonta Williams straight up. That's a no damn brainer. Hell yeah. I'm doing it, man. Hit us with one of your players you're trying to acquire.
So one of the guys I'm looking to get out.
Sell away. My bad. I said acquire. I mean trade away. My bad, dog. I know you looked at me like, Ray, what the hell are you talking about, man? We're trying to sell these guys, not acquire. Tell us one of the guys you're trying to get rid of, D-Bro.
So I was surprised when I saw him this high in startups as of January because it's not because I don't like the player, but Jerry Jeudy is still going off the board, or at least as of January, as wide receiver 22 in startups. That feels really damn spicy, Ray, especially you're looking at the divide, and I get that there's an age divide, but like Cortland Sutton is at wide receiver 34. Outside of like, Cortland Sutton is not an aging, old, has-been wide receiver. Dude is still young. But you're looking at this massive divide between him and Jerry Jeudy. What the hell has Jerry Jeudy done on an NFL field to necessitate still being a top 24 dynasty asset outside of being a first-round pick? He hadn't done nothing. And amongst all the wide receivers of 100 more routes last year, he was 29th in yards per route run. 58th in fantasy points per route run. 59th in fantasy points per game. Like, what outside of the name of Jerry Jeudy in production sake still warrants him being that guy? And we don't know who the Denver Broncos quarterback is going to be. You want to sit here in all these rumors and talk that shit about Aaron Rodgers going there, or people want to talk it. Like, That legit has to be your saving grace and hope if you're going to sit here and draft Jerry Jeudy as a top 24 wide receiver right now. Nah, man, I'm out. Like, if he puts up, and we talk about, like, walking into this season, if he puts up another stinker season, he's going to plummet. And you're going to see him in the wide receiver 30s next year.
Yeah, man. There's no way. If people still value him, and I was somebody who was very, very high on Jerry Jeudy coming into this season. Mm-hmm. And part of me, I give a little bit of grace because that quarterback situation, just awful, right? Teddy Bridgewater, Drew Lock, just terrible quarterback play. I'm still kind of like, I guess it's just fingers crossed type shit with me because there's no data that supports him being that high right now. And if there are people who still value him like that, then I would 100% be trying to move him. This is the season for Jerry Jeudy. Like, this is year three. If it's going to happen, it's got to happen now. It has got to happen this season. And when we look back at that 2020 wide receiver class that was supposed to be just all world, you know, Laviska Shenault, Jalen Reagor, laughable, you know, who, Henry Ruggs, not in the league. It's CeeDee Lamb. He's good, but you know, the production, we want the blow up CeeDee Lamb, right? Like, when we're looking at that class, man, it's really Justin Jefferson, T Higgins. And if you're asking me who, like, the third best wide receiver is from that 2020 class off the top of my head, what, Michael Pittman? Is it, you know, CeeDee Lamb, Justin Jefferson, T. Higgins, and Michael Pittman? There go your top four guys. Jerry Judy's not up there, man. So I'm going to give him one more year, D-Bro. Before I get rid of him, before I sell him, I'm not even giving him a year. I'm giving him, like, 4 weeks. Because let's be fair to Jerry Jeudy. First game of the season, Broncos versus the Giants. I think he had like 6-7 damn receptions before he messed up he had the high ankle sprain and went out. Like, I think he looked like he was doing good. Like, I'm making excuses here. I'm stumping for my guy. Probably the first like 6 weeks, we're going to know if Jerry Jeudy, what's concerning about that is they paid Tim Patrick and they paid Cortland Sutton. And they're going to have to make a decision on Noah Fant here real soon. I don't know, man. It's scary. It's a scary proposition holding on to Jerry Jeudy now, but I am just, I've got hope. I'm dynastying with some hope that he can get his act together here in 2022, but it has not looked good so far.
Tell me this, if you could get, like, not even saying a mid first, like somewhere in that, like, late first, like even like 108 to 112. Easy. Somebody offered you a late first. Would you take the first over Jeudy?
Easy. 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 Smash. Smashing it, man. Yep. Yeah. You give me that. I'm taking it. I'm not thinking twice. I'm looking at some players that are ranked ahead of him right now. Chase Claypool, Amon-Ra St. Brown, some guys ahead of him. You've got like Michael Gallup, DJ Chark, Kadarius Toney after him. It's got to happen. It's got to happen this year for Jerry Jeudy here in 2022. We'll see how it plays out. All right. Another player that I'm trying to get out from under, and boy, I'm ready for the comments to go wild here with this one, because this is a player. Let me just read what he did this season, and I'll let you take a guess as to who it is, right? He's played 17 games, 191 targets, 145 receptions, 1,947 yards, 13.4 yards per reception, 16 touchdowns, number one wide receiver in fantasy points per game with damn near 26 per game. He won Super Bowl MVP, won the Triple Crown, won Offensive Player of the Year. You want to guess who I'm talking about, D-Bro? Just a wild guess as to who I'm talking about here. And it's not Calvin Johnson.
Fantasy Jesus himself. Jesus himself, baby. That's Cooper Kupp. It's all day.
It's Cooper Kupp. And right now, if I have Cooper Kupp, I am trying to sell him in Dynasty. And listen, as long as Matt Stafford's there, He's got a beast. He's going to ball. He's going into his age 29 season, and we know wide receivers traditionally can play a little bit longer than running backs, so it's not like he's going to fall off next year. But this was by far the best season of his career, and like just like damn near by 1,000 yards, right? Like damn near doubled up his highest season output. He did have 1,000 more yards than he did last year, almost on the dot, you know, 974 yards. And I get it. It was with Jared Goff, and the first couple of years of his career were with Jared Goff. And look what happens when you get Matthew Stafford. But does Cooper Kupp's value ever get any higher than what it is now? Like if there was just an over under of does Cooper Kupp duplicate this season ever again, I would be taking the under. I'd be saying, I don't think he ever does this again. I mean, this is winning the Triple Crown. First of all, having health throughout the entire season, even the most durable, the human juggernaut that is Derrick Henry was sidelined for half the season from a pinky toe or something like that. You know what I mean? Like crazy shit happens in football, and Cooper Kupp was able to stay healthy the entire season and put up monstrous numbers. And right now, I haven't even found a trade that like happened. I tried to find one that's happened over the past couple of weeks to really talk about. The only trade that I can talk about that I've seen is one that I made, and I actually traded Cooper Kupp away for the 101 this year and a 2023 first round pick, two 2023 first round picks. So I got three first for Cooper Kupp, two in 2023 and the 101 this year. Like, that's if nice. I can do that, I'm fine with it, man. Like, it's just,
yeah,
it's that it's the value game. It's the recycling game. You hold Cooper Kupp and, you know, we knock on wood. None of us hope for injuries, but, you know, he gets injured a game here, an ankle twist, you know, a knee strain, like just little stuff, man. We're not talking about career ending things, but the fact that he went through the whole season unscathed, didn't miss a beat, man. Like, this is, if you're going to capitalize on the value of a player, here it is. It is at an all. He has reached the top of Mount Kilimanjaro. He is at the top of Everest. I'm selling at that point. You know what I'm saying? Like we talked kind of about Jamar Chase and people saying they would trade Jamar Chase. I'd be much more inclined to move Cooper Kupp at 29 years old after off of this season opposed to Jamar Chase. And I say that knowing good and well he's going for another 1,500 yards in 2022. But again, in Dynasty, I want to be a year early than a year too late.
So two parts. One, I agree with you. He's at wide receiver 10 in startups as of January. I think that he's not going to get higher than that, obviously. I think that he's going to fall down the map, especially like if we're redoing this next year, talking about like rookies and players that have moved up the board and Kupp's gone down the board, now being another year older after next season, I think that he's peaked. I guess my question back to you, Ray, is like, what's the bare minimum? Because as somebody, we talked about this on episode one about Kupp and his age and things of that nature, but like, what's the bare minimum you're taking for Cooper Kupp? Because the production is otherworldly. And we talked about he's going to go for 1,500 yards, probably like 8 to 10 touchdowns next year, regardless. He's not going to have like God mode legend season probably again, but still be really damn good to be a top five guy.
Right, right.
But even with that, he doesn't command the same type of return as like super stud or like Devontae Adams, even though the production is similar or better. What's that bottom dollar you're willing to sit here and still press the accept on Cooper Kupp? Is it two firsts? Is it a high, like a top five first and a second? Like, draw me the bare minimum line.
I would love to be able to, like, if I can move Cooper Kupp and walk away with Elijah Moore in a first, Rashad Bateman in a first, even Calvin Ridley in a first, Jalen Waddle in a pick, that I'd be in heaven, right? But if you're just talking about baseline like picks, it would be two firsts, and they both need to be relatively high, right? Like I wouldn't want the 112 this year and the 112 in 2023. I'd want, you know, a top three pick this year, and I'd want a first rounder, and hopefully that team that's sending me their top three pick, hopefully they've got their own 2023 pick, which should probably be a high draft pick as well. I think two first rounders is Probably like the baseline that I would accept. I wouldn't go a first and a second, but two first round picks, I would do it. If I can get Elijah Moore in a pick, I'm smashing accept on that without thinking. I still think you can get it done. There are some people out here who really love Kupp and don't think he's going to slow down anytime soon. All I'm saying is float it out there. It's the classic tear down and acquire an asset, right? Tear down a receiver and then acquire some draft capital. And I'm all about that in Dynasty.
Yeah, same, man. I think that the move is either you go young wide receiver, somebody you think is going to move up the board, get you a pick tied to that. I could say in super flex leagues, I could even be talked into going, and part of this is knowing your league mates. Like, if you're telling me I could get...
All of it is knowing your league mates. All of it is, yeah.
I mean, it is.
Yeah,
it is. Because if you can get a top three pick in this year's rookie draft, and even like the 201 in this rookie draft, maybe I make that, because basically you're saying, okay, in super flex is what I'm kind of talking this, and I'm being very, very specific with this, but you're telling me I could get like an early second, maybe one of those wide receivers running backs in Malik Willis and turn Kupp into that. Yeah, I'm fine with that. Like, maybe this is just showing my hand at how damn high I am on Malik Willis right now.
Well, what if I told you that at that 103 spot this year, you can get Treylon Burks at the 103, and then at the top of the second, you can get George Pickens. So you get Treylon Burks and George Pickens for Cooper Kupp. Would you make that deal?
Yeah, I make that deal. Especially if you're looking at, like, Kupp is – if your team is on the cusp, like, you're like – maybe I competed this year, but shit, I'm probably not competing next year. Like, the cards and the stars are perfectly aligned, and it ain't happening next year.
Yep.
Then you're going to turn this into two guys that possibly walking into or out of next year are going to gain value. Hell, they could maybe end up as both top 24 dynasty wide receivers when we're talking about this next season. Yeah, give me that. I'll take that deal, man. Like, because if you're doing all the homework and you know your process and you feel comfortable with how you evaluate these rookies – are you going to have hits and misses as well? Sure. But if you hit on both of those players, yeah, absolutely. Because put it this way, you're walking into next season, Ray. Like, we're talking about it. Kupp's not getting younger. He's going to be 29. You're probably not getting that deal, especially for him next year.
With you. I'm with you, man. All right. Tell somebody else, your last guy that you're getting rid of. Who are you kicking out the door?
Man, I picked two young wide receivers, and I came from the same draft class, and there are truthers all out there. I fought them last year, probably fighting them again this year. I don't get it, man. Brandon Ayuk, wide receiver 26 in startups. Oh,
you're hurting my heart. You're cutting my soul. Dude, go ahead. Go lay it on me. Lay it on me. Why are you getting rid of Ayuk? What is it? What did Ayuk do to you? What did he do to you? What's with the Ayuk slander? What did he do to you, man?
Debo stepped up as the damn alpha, dude. And there's still George Kittle. And all of these dudes are on a team that's going to be top five in rushing rate. They're not going to throw the damn ball around the yard. So you're looking at a team that legit all of these guys to pay off or be what they're going to be. Ayuk's going as wide receiver 26 right now. It's hard for me to envision a path of Brandon Ayuk rising up the board above that in the upcoming season, regardless. And I'm talking about if everybody stays healthy and we're talking about this is still going to be a low volume passing attack. Now, if George Kittle and all these other Debo gets hurt and Brandon Ayuk's getting alpha level volume, then yeah, I look like a damn idiot. But right now, we're projecting those dudes are going to be healthy. And we're looking at Brandon Ayuk after he got up out the doghouse, Ray. So like after week three, he was only a top 36 wide receiver in 53% of his games. He had only three games all season after Shanahan said, okay, sure, we need you. Go back on the field, sir. Three games as a top 24 wide receiver, man. Like, that's just not doing it for me. Like, for a guy, and yes, he's 23 years old. I understand it. But he was wide receiver 41 in fantasy points per game. Where he's going in startups and how much, like, you can get a first for him. Yes, give me that. I'll take that. I'll take a mid to late first for Brandon Ayuk. And you could probably get that in various leagues. Because he's a guy that I have a really, really hard time envisioning an upside scenario for him walking into next year. Like, even, like, versus the guys that are going around him, like, he's right now right behind Amon-Ra St. Brown. Give me St. Brown handedly over Brandon Ayuk.
Yeah, I'm
the guys
that
are going behind him, like Marquise Brown, and we hadn't even talked about like things out in the Twitter space about Marquise Brown.
Wait a minute. Do you want to spread propaganda? I have no problem spreading some fake news, but there are some unverified sources that don't have a lot of followers saying that Marquise Brown could potentially step away from football to pursue a career in gaming. Listen, we're just having fun with the story. Nothing has come across the desk that looks official in any way, shape, or form. If that comes to fruition, we'll talk more about it. But to your point, you would rather have Hollywood's playing. You would rather have Hollywood Brown than Brandon Ayuk.
I would rather have Hollywood, and I'll stay on the same team. Like, if you can get Rashad Bateman, and they're going around the same kind of range. But if you can get Rashad Bateman, and just give me some sauce on top of that. Like, give me Bateman and a late second. Give me Bateman and a third. I'll take Bateman. Like, I firmly believe
I would take him
Bateman
straight
has,
up.
Yeah, I would take him straight up, too.
I'll take
like,
him
I think
up.
Bateman has alpha-type upside in his skill set. Like, that is legit. I have him ranked aggressively over at FTN Fantasy, and part of this is just how we're looking at these players. Like, are you obviously like we talked to this, and I'm crushing your soul. I'm stomping on it right now. But like, what are your thoughts on Ayuk? Like, would you take a first for him? Are you still in? Because obviously, like, I'm just shitting on people right now, talking about Jerry Jeudy and Brandon Ayuk. I'm here for the mentions, dude. That's what I'm here for.
I still like Brandon Ayuk, but I'm not going to sit here and say that I am 100% confident, 100% sold. You're right. This was the season everybody said coming in, even me, nobody was talking about Deebo. Everybody was talking about Ayuk. Like, Ayuk was supposed to be 1,200, 1,300 yards this year, and he got left at home, you know? The 49ers got on the bus and hit the road and played their games, and Ayuk is at home. That's concerning for a second-year player. Now, I will say the fact that he ended up with more yards receiving this season than he did last year kind of shocked me. I mean, 826 yards this year, 748 last year, 5 TDs this year. He had 5 last year. Reception totals dipped a little bit, 4 or less. His targets dipped 11, but I'm still in on Ayuk. Like, he and Jerry Jeudy, you're very much similar. If it's going to happen for Ayuk, which, God, the 49ers already didn't throw the ball a ton. I think team pass plays per game, they averaged 32.9, which was 22nd in the NFL. They already don't throw the ball a lot, Jimmy Garoppolo. Trey Lance is going to come in. They're probably going to throw a little bit less with him because he provides so much rushing upside. Oh, man, you just crushed my spirit with that one. But it's hard to disagree with anything you said about Brandon Ayuk. Again, this whole show is just me full of hope. Just full of hope here. Just hope for Jerry Jeudy. Hope for Brandon Ayuk. But unfortunately, hope doesn't get us paid. Hope doesn't help us win leagues. Hope doesn't bring home the fantasy titles year after year. So I'm not going to knock it. I'm just not happy with you because you just broke my heart using that one at the end. And my final sell, D-Bro, my final
sell. You're about to wet blanket one of my love lists, guys. So the pain is real, and you're dishing it back to me right now. Well, so I got to sit here and bite my damn lip while you go through this guy.
Well, go ahead and go ahead and move Gabe Davis at this point because still, Gabriel Davis, I understand what he did, that playoff game where he looked legitimately, he was looking like Jerry Rice out there. But this is a player, man. Outside of that game, there were a couple of flashing moments here and there, but he did absolutely nothing, man. You know, he did nothing. 35 receptions, back-to-back seasons, receiving yards right around the same, 599, 549. Like it was an identical season. Like he played all 16 games, 63 targets, 62 targets, 35 receptions, 35 receptions, 549, 599, six touchdowns, seven touchdowns. Like I'm not getting the Gabe Davis explosion to where people are going out trading first rounders for Gabe Davis, multiple picks. They're trading Michael Pittman in a first to get Gabe Davis. If that's where his value is and that's what people want to pay, you can, the matter of fact, D bro, let me check the league that we're in together. Let me see if I've got some Gabe Davis and I'll send them to you for a first round pick. I don't give a shit if it's the 111. You can take my Gabe Davis and I will take that first round rookie pick in 2022 and I will sleep like a baby, sound asleep. I just don't get it. I think he's a fine player, but what the hell are you expecting from him? What do you think he's going to be in Buffalo? You think he's going to be the number one? Number two, I think there's just a good chance they draft another guy this year to pair with Stephon Diggs. I like him. I think he's a fine player, but what is this upside we're seeing here with Gabe Davis?
So am I going to give up first round picks for Gabe Davis? And good Lord, if people are giving up Michael Pittman and plus for Gabe Davis.
Yes.
And I am a massive toe drag swag believer, and I like Gabe Davis. But this is also, I'm coming from a point of reference where I drafted a bunch of Gabe Davis. I got a bunch of Gabe Davis, and maybe I move him, or I'm just holding tight right now. I'm not paying that kind of premium for him. That's for damn sure. Like, I'm not doing that. And no, sir, if you have Gabe Davis, I will happily hold my first. Thank you very much.
D-Bro, here go a couple. Somebody traded, listen to this one. Would you rather have Alvin Kamara, this was 3 days ago, or Gabe Davis in a second? Someone traded away Kamara to get Gabe Davis in a second. All right, maybe benefit of the doubt, maybe it was the arrest or whatever. They just were scared. Goes one. Whew. Deshaun Watson or Gabe Davis in a second?
Like, what? And I'm guessing that's Superflex guessing that, right? Like,
yeah, that's a good guess right there. 2022 first, Gabe Davis. 2023 first, Gabe Davis. Zeke Elliott and Gabe Davis for T. Higgins in a second. No, thank you.
Apparently, I need to put Gabe Davis on the block. I'm a little bit off of this. Like, that's wow.
Yeah, Gabe Davis, 2023 first, another one of those. I mean, yes. If you can get that for Gabe Davis,
that's all insanity.
This is insane.
Those are crazy trades. Like, that's crazy.
This is what happens,
and I love Gabe Davis, but that if you're getting that kind of return, you should be putting him on the block yesterday.
And here's my thing. Here's my rule in Dynasty. You never count another man's pockets. You don't know what somebody else is willing to pay for a player. So you put it out there. You dangle it out there. You see what they say. And if they're offering you any type of first round picks for Gabe Davis, take it. So just a quick recap, D-Bro, on ourselves. We've got Dalvin Cook, we've got Cooper Kupp, we got Gabe Davis. You broke my heart with Brandon Ayuk, and we also have Jerry Jeudy. Common theme here: four wide receivers and a running back that we're trying to move off of in Dynasty. So, D-Bro, any kind of last parting takeaways for the buys and sells? We've got a lot more of these that we're going to do, but just to kick it off, episode two, any final takeaways with any of these guys?
Apparently I need to go be putting Gabe Davis on the block in every freaking league that I have him, and I got him a lot of places, man, but he's going on the block tonight, so if you're in any leagues with me, like, I'll let you, boy.
Throw Gabe Davis on the block. Go get you some Travis Etienne. Go get you some Kadarius Toney. Go get you some Michael Carter. Go try to get some of these guys, man, while their value is still suppressed, while it's still low, while rookie fever is just sweeping over the fantasy football space. We appreciate you tapping into the show. Make sure you subscribe. to the podcast network. Make sure you go to ftnfantasy.com to check out all the content. Make sure you're following Derek on Twitter one more time at @dbro_ffb. He's got content dropping daily, whether it's on the podcast, on the mic, on the paper. He's got shit dropping all the time. There's tons of dope content creators over at FTN Fantasy. And we got you locked and loaded, man. We're gonna hit some rookies next week. So we're gonna start to take a look at some of these rookies. I don't know. We might touch the running backs. We might go the quarterback route. Anything you want to say to the people before we get out of here, D-Bro?
I think you covered it, Ray. I mean, they got to get tapped in all the content at FTM. My dynasty ranks alive. And as well as, I mean, they need to be waking up. They got to be getting up out of bed early and tapping in with you and Jay Rich. Tuning in to Wake Up with Ray G every single day. What is it, Monday through Thursday now?
Monday through Thursday, 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Come tap in with us on the YouTube channel at Ray GQ. We appreciate it, man. Please rate and review, subscribe to the podcast. Stay tapped into all the dope content we've got dropping at FTN Fantasy. But until next time, y'all be safe, be easy, and we out of this thing. Peace.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the FTN Fantasy Football Podcast with Ray and Derek. Make sure to follow your hosts on Twitter at RayGQ and @dbro_ffb. Hit that subscribe button so you don't miss an episode.